Okay, good morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time of your word, O Lord. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you incline our ears to hear you, that you open our eyes to see your glory, O Lord. Everlasting Father, that you give us understanding. You are the God above all gods, the God whose understanding is unsearchable. Everlasting King of grace, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds to receive your word this morning. King of kings and Lord of lords, we take authority over the atmosphere and we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and will teach us all things. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, John 15, 18 to 25, a very interesting topic, which talks about hatred. This topic negates the desire of man. Who wants to be hated? No one wants to be hated. We all want to be liked. And the word hate in itself is a very strong word. But Jesus used this word. It was a deliberate attempt, deliberate effort to bring to our realization the things to expect when you belong to Christ. The things to expect when you have come away from the power of darkness into his marvelous light. If we were to define the word hatred, it means intense dislike, distaste, abhorrence. They might even not want to see you. In this passage, God wants us to be aware that we will not only be disliked, we will be hated. Some people think with the coming of Christ and you accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything will be okay from now on. Everything will just be blissful. But Jesus is saying to us that I'm sorry, that is not what is going to happen. In his time on earth, he was persecuted. He was hated. And as a result of that, you will also be hated. That is why he says in the passage that the servant is not higher than the master. If it happened to the master, it will happen to us. Jesus raises our awareness that the battle line has been drawn and we must get ready for war. The question is, why will I be hated for giving my life to Christ? Why will the world hate me? Jesus refers to the system that will dislike us as the world. The world means those who do not believe in Christ, those who make it a deliberate effort not to believe in Christ, not to believe in Christ's death, his resurrection, his burial, not to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. These are the ones who have been deceived into believing that Christ does not exist, or his power has not been made available to us. In the same way the flesh wars against the spirit, similarly, the world and the believer are at war. Jesus wants us to be encouraged that when we are faced with this mystery that comes in association with him, one thing we must know is that it happened to him. And we must be encouraged that it will happen to us also. The hatred is the physical manifestation of man's hatred towards us, which will have started from the realm of the spirit. From the realm of darkness, sorry, not the realm of the spirit. Jesus is saying there is a reason the world will hate us. And that is because we who we are born into sin by birth are now called out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. Because of that, the enemy has become frustrated. And as a result, they will impose any form of frustration upon the children of God. It might come in manifestation through man. It might come from the manifestation of the Spirit. So through man, the world will hate us. And there will be a physical manifestation of that hatred. As a result, this must not come as a surprise. And with this information, Jesus Christ wants us to position ourselves so we do not act in ignorance. This is the truth. Those who rejected Christ do not have your best interest at heart. It has nothing to do with them as an individual. But because they are not of God, they have made themselves available to be used by the kingdom of darkness. Let's look at some of the ways Jesus Christ was hated. In John chapter 8, verse 11, they tried to discredit Jesus' ministry. The Pharisees and Sadducees were constantly against him, and these were the religious sect. They refused to believe in the Son of God, and they constantly were coming up against him and trying to get him to fall. They brought an adulterous woman in John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. They set her in their midst, and they said, "We caught this woman committing adultery. The law of Moses says such a person should be stoned." The Bible says they said this to test him, that he might say something of which to accuse him. In the same John chapter 8, just verse 48 to 52, they accused him of performing his miracles by the power of the devil. They looked down on him because he associated with unclean people, with sinners, and they say with tax collectors. So they looked down on him because they said he associated with unclean people. They were constantly watching him. There were even spies sent out to spy on him. They watched him to see if he would break the law so that they would accuse him. They watched him to see if he would say something that they would hold against him. He was rejected by the religious groups, these Pharisees and Sadducees. They will accuse him of breaking the law. In Matthew 12, 1 to 8, on a Sabbath day, they were walking through the field. The disciples were hungry. They plucked some corn and they came at them and said they were dishonoring the Sabbath day. In all this, Jesus Christ always spoke back. The world will monitor you. The world will try to catch you. In their bid to catch Jesus from one thing or another, this hatred was displayed physically for all to see. Finally, they persecuted him. He went to the cross. But that persecution, him going to the cross, was not because they had success in killing him. He gave himself up, and they took the opportunity to kill him. Why did Jesus say this to us? Is it to cause fear? No, it is to empower us, to raise our awareness so that we are not taken by surprise and act like the sky is falling. We are not Chicken Little anymore. He doesn't want us to think the sky is falling. It is for us to position ourselves for victory, to give us peace when we see these things manifest. Jesus gives us the answer to calm our fears in John 16, verse 33. He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but if there is hope to hold on to, that is the fact that he conquered the world." So he says, "Be of good cheer. I have conquered the world. Those who hate do so to their own demise. There is scientific evidence that hatred negatively impacts the nervous system, the immune system, and the endocrine system. Those of the world who have had the opportunity to hear Jesus but have rejected him. For this reason, that alone, the fact that they've rejected him, their sin remains on them. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 says, God's commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It might not go to plan. Things might not happen the way we want them to. But the Lord says, come boldly to the throne of grace and cry for mercy in time of need. The Lord also gives us keys to unlocking this mystery of hatred. He says, even in persecution, when we lift Jesus up, we will draw all men unto him. That is why he says, if they hear his word, they will also hear your word. One of the keys he has given us when the gates of trials and tribulations are against us, when the world of hatred is upon us, is the mystery of prayer. We see this when Peter was seized by Herod and placed in prison. Acts chapter 12 verse 5 says Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. We thank God today for the powerful prayer warriors we have in our church who lift up prayers constantly. When Herod was about to bring Peter out, possibly to kill him that night, even though he was bound in two chains with two soldiers beside him, prayer was being held, but was being said constantly for Peter. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord came in, struck Peter, loosed his chains, and led him out of prison. That is the power of prayer. Do not let sleep cheat you. Take advantage of the night watches that Jesus Christ describes. The night watches are the times in the night when we wake up and cry unto the Lord in prayer. Jesus even taught us how to pray, the pattern of prayer. Jesus instructed his disciples to watch and pray. He also gave us the mystery of praise and worship. Praise and worship is a very powerful tool when we are set up against the hatred of the world. Praise and worship allows God to take over the battle. Let's look at two examples. Paul and Silas. They were thrown into prison for driving out the spirit of divination from a servant girl who was using this spirit to make money. Whilst Paul and Silas were in prison, at midnight, they began to pray and sing, singing hymns to the Lord, praising the Lord with a humble, genuine heart. Suddenly, the prison door opened and everyone's chains were loosed. When the prison guard saw the awesome power of God, he surrendered his life to Christ together with all his family. Hezekiah and Sennacherib in Kings, he was about to go to battle with this king, Sennacherib. He sent threatening letters to Hezekiah saying he will defeat them. Yes, Sennacherib's army was very strong, and Hezekiah knew that they did not stand a chance, but they stood a chance when he brought in God into the equation. He took the letter that was given to, that was sent to him, accusing him, disrespecting his God, blaspheming against his God. He took it to the temple and he prayed unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord for help. And the Lord said to him, the battle is not yours. The battle is mine. All you need to do is to praise and worship. And on that day, all they did was praise and worship. And the result was that they had the victory. The most powerful key that Jesus himself has given us is himself, the Word of God. We can use the Word of God as it is written to prophesy God's plan into our lives. In January, I had the coronavirus. It wasn't getting better. Yes, thank God for again for the prayer warriors in our church. They were lifting prayers up. They were praying for me. But things were not going to plan. I did not see the manifestation. You know, things were getting better, but then they were getting worse as time went along. And one day, as I sat down in fear and almost giving up, I heard the voice of the Lord within me. And that voice said to me, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. The eyes of the Lord are ever on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. As I began to think about these words, I began to see in the spirit of my mind the angels around me. In that instant, fear left me, and I began to prophesy according to the word of God. I said out aloud, the angel of the Lord encamps around me. The angel of the Lord encamps around me to destroy sickness. The Lord will bless my bread and water, and he will take sickness far away from me. The blood of Jesus is around me. The blood of Jesus negates the power of darkness. The blood of Jesus destroys sickness. I opened up the scriptures and began to prophesy aloud that God, the scripture that God has concerning my life. From that day on, I slept like a baby, and all fear left, and recovery took over. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace and cry for mercy. That is the advantage that we have, that we can go boldly to the throne room and cry for mercy and receive grace in time of need. We can go to the Lord because he says, call upon me and I will answer. Call upon me and I will deliver. Call upon me and I will save. That is the advantage that we have against the world. And that is the victory that Jesus has. Jesus is saying, the world will hate us, but he has conquered. 1 John 5 verse 3 says, God's commandments are not burdensome, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world who hates us as believers. This is the victory, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he who believes Jesus is the Son of God? So we must not despair when trials and tribulations and the manifestations of worldly hatred come against us, because the Master went through it. And even if we go through it, we will come out victorious, because Jesus overcame the world. We are more than conquerors in Jesus' name. The world will come with its manifestations of hatred in every evil form, be it sickness, be it people coming against us, talking about us, talking against us, trying to catch us on what we say and what we do. They did it to Jesus. They will do it to you. But there is a system in place for us to overcome. Because Jesus Christ conquered the world, we are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name, amen.